It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Marcus Charleston, producer of Essential Pittsburgh, in for Paul Guggenheimer. The financial troubles of the August Wilson Center have made local and national headlines. However, the recent seating of a new board, funding, and programming lineup heralds a new beginning for the cultural center. As the center moves forward, what lessons can other nonprofits learn from the saga of the August Wilson Center? We're posing this question to Greg Daly, financial advisor with Fragasso Financial Advisors, who specializes in nonprofits. Greg Daly, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Marcus. Happy to be here.
Hearing good news about the August Wilson Center has been a long time coming. Calling upon your expertise with nonprofits, how do you avoid the difficulties that plague the center?
I think when you talk about starting a nonprofit, there are some similarities with starting really any type of business or venture. The first is to have a very clear understanding for your mission and purpose. You know, what is it that you're trying to accomplish with the organization? How are you going to do it? What's going to be the community that you serve? You need to put together a team of people that can help you do that, and you're going to need a board of directors and trustees to work with you in the organization. So the idea of having very clear goals, knowing who it is that's going to help you organize your mission, and understanding how to put a nonprofit together from a structural standpoint are all very important.
Now, when it comes to selecting board members and someone to lead the organization, what qualities should the search committee look for in a leader?
Well, I think leadership has a couple of different facets. When you look at successful nonprofits, oftentimes you see a very strong personality at the core. That's important. I think strong leadership and vision is a very important quality when you're trying to focus, especially a starter organization. The other part of it, though, is you need an element of pragmatism, right? In any business venture or any nonprofit or anything that's going to be organized and sustainable for the long term, there has to be an element of pragmatism, you know, people who understand how to get things done. A big part of that, I think, is just being able to sort of slow a process down, focus a team of people on mission and goals, and again, using that word pragmatism again, be very focused on process and procedure and getting things done so that you don't run before you can walk.
Now, critics have cast a weary eye on the sometimes high salaries paid to the people running nonprofits. Are they justified in their criticism?
Well, it depends. I think over the past few years, with more scrutiny on exactly what you're talking about here, people have paid more attention to how organizations use their funds and how compensation is paid to key people. It isn't that there's never a justification for paying key people very well, but there's got to be a real balance between what the organization does with the money that people in good faith and organizations in good faith donate to this organization and how people are paid. So depending on the organization, sometimes it's justified and sometimes it isn't. But one of the key elements that you see now nationally in terms of scrutinizing nonprofits is, what percent of funds goes toward, overhead, including salaries for the organization, and what percent actually goes to the mission. So I would say that, like anything else, let the buyer or donor beware and do a little homework before donating money to organizations so that you understand exactly how the money's used.
Greg, in addition to the criticism leveled at the high salaries people leading nonprofits make, there's also concern about the money spent on, say, their events to bring publicity to the organization and to secure donors. What do you say to that?
No, it's a good question. I think the fear that donors have is that, big, flashy, showy fundraisers, do they actually generate anything positive or enough positive for the mission of the organization to be worthwhile? Or, is it a festival of ego for people attending the event? And I think the way to look at it is, in the same way that nationally people are paying more attention to how efficient charities are, I think people are right to ask the question. You have a right as a donor to ask the development people or directors of nonprofits, what happens with money that is generated at these fundraisers? A lot of times when an organization handles those monies efficiently and does good things with them, and there is a significant net gain to the cost of these particular fundraisers, they're proud to tell you. They are more than happy to tell you how well the fundraiser did and how much good it did for the organization and the mission. But I think people asking the question is ultimately what will steer the nonprofit world toward a direction of accountability and sustainability with these types of things. So I think, 10, 15, 20 years ago, people didn't even really ask the question that you just asked about, well, what does this do in the long run? All this flash and pomp, does it accomplish anything? And I think, like anything else, people asking the question and asking for, a good solid answer is going to be what drives the appropriate handling of the monies that are raised by these types of fundraisers.
Greg, when criticism is laid at nonprofits and the money that they're spending on, say, big events, or whether the money that they're using is really going to help the cause, does that cause them to take a look at themselves and clean up their act?
I think it does. And first of all, I think donors and funding organizations have every right to ask, what happens when money is donated? What do you do with it? Are you efficient? So they absolutely have a right to demand, some accountability and efficiency. And on the other side of it, the organizations, when asked, if you do a good job, if you know that the money you spend to run the organization and the overhead costs of fundraising and things like that, when you know you're doing a good job as an organization, those questions give you the opportunity to tell your story. So if you've got a great story to tell as an organization as to how you handle donations, how you handle overhead, how you handle fundraising, and the good things that come from all of your processes here, you really can set yourself apart from other organizations that can't answer those questions effectively. I do think when people ask, and I do think when criticism is levied, and I do think that the trend now to really kind of quantify how nonprofits operate efficiently, I think that organizations do respond to that. Not every organization is going to react to certain criteria that they don't like or certain questions that they think are unfair. But I do think just the demand for accountability and the on the bigger picture nationally, the focus on efficiency and accountability, it can't help but to change the nonprofit industry. And I think over time, the way different types of nonprofits are scrutinized, it will get better. It will get more efficient. But just even starting by asking the questions or demanding efficiency and accountability in the first place, I think is a huge plus for nonprofits, especially because it really lets the good organization shine.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Marcus Charleston, producer of the program, in for Paul Guggenheimer. We're discussing what it takes to establish and run a successful nonprofit with Greg Daly, financial advisor with Fragasso Financial Advisors. While nonprofits run the gamut from small staff to one of the city's largest employers, what is their financial responsibility to the community in lieu of paying taxes? I mean, they're still using a number of the city's resources.
No, that's a very interesting question. And you mentioned, one of the big players in town, which, has come under some scrutiny in that regard. And it's difficult. From the nonprofit side, if I'm running a nonprofit, especially a successful one that does a lot for a community, I'm pointing out all the things that we do for the community without being necessarily directly supported by tax dollars. So my argument would be that, we're not necessarily taking the public funds per se, but we provide quite a bit for the community. So, doesn't it make sense for you to give us a break on taxes? The other side of that is, and frankly, the argument is you look at some of these big nonprofits, especially, one in particular in town, isn't it operating just like a business, right? Isn't it doing that? So I understand it from both sides, and there's a real balancing point there. There's not a right answer to the question, do they have a responsibility to, give back to a municipality by paying taxes? I can't say that for sure, but what I can say is when you think about, local government, you expect local government to make the right decisions and weigh all the factors in trying to make these determinations. And exactly what the organization does or the nonprofit does for the community has to be taken into account.
Now, you always hear about individuals or groups forming a nonprofit devoted to a specific cause. While the intentions are honorable, isn't there a risk of too many organizations competing for so little funding?
Yeah, that's a great question, too, because, what you've heard, especially after the financial crisis of 2008-2009, is, dollars for nonprofits are even tougher to come by. And I do think that that's true. And, one of the worries is if there are, five organizations or 50 organizations in a particular area that do incredibly similar work, There's probably mostly the same amount of money available, whether there are 5 or 50 organizations. So you can make a case that sometimes nonprofits are competing with each other in the same space. One of the benefits of collaboration or joining forces is, again, you're combining good teams of people that want to do the same thing, and you have fewer numbers of organizations chasing the same money. Sometimes getting organizations together is difficult. It's as difficult to merge in the nonprofit world as it is to merge in the corporate world for a whole host of reasons. You know, who's going to do what? There's always a big brother when organizations merge. You know, who's going to be that big brother in the merger? So it can be a difficult thing to do, but what you hope to see on an ongoing basis is groups working together as opposed to competing with each other for, you know, the limited funds that are available both publicly and privately.
Greg, with limited sources of funding available for all nonprofits, some people have said that nonprofits should follow the corporate mode and operate as businesses. Do you agree with this?
What I think is, when you think about the mission of your organization, and with most nonprofits, the desire for, you know, sustainability, the ability to be around for the long term to help accomplish a mission, the processes that go into that sound to me very much like a business. So I think as time goes on, when you think about efficiency, for how difficult it is for nonprofits to really compete for the same dollars, and for how much donors I think are asking for feedback and accountability, I think following kind of a business principle and running your organization is going to be very much more so the norm in the future.
So nonprofits should develop other revenue streams?
Other revenue streams, but I think it really comes down more to the mindset than anything else. I think especially with more local kind of grassroots nonprofits, they're really mission focused. So the most important thing in the world is the mission, the community they serve. That's true. That's very important. But you also have to think about how long can you do what you do? How well can you do what you do? And what's it going to take from a business and a management and an accountability standpoint to keep you doing what you do over the long term?
So as we wrap up, for our listeners who are currently running or thinking of starting a nonprofit, your parting words of advice would be?
I think there are really a couple of key things to keep in mind when you're talking about either establishing a nonprofit or even maintaining a nonprofit. Oversight and accountability, very important. And in fact, it's a mandate not only for the key people that run the organization, but for the trustees as well. And when there's problems, a lot of times you can circle back to that oversight and accountability having been an issue. Efficiency, you know, how well do you do what you do? How wisely do you spend the money that's given to you? Is extremely important. And do you have any way of tracking how efficient you really are? And measurable outcomes, you know, what actually happens? So your mission is to do a certain thing or a series of things, and your donors give you money to perform those tasks. You know, how do you know that you do it well? How do your donors know that you do it well? So I think it's important not only for the organization to have process in place to understand how well you do what you do, but to be able to explain to donors and to the public at large how well you do what you do.
Who are they accountable to? Who is the board and ultimately the nonprofit accountable to?
They're accountable to the organization itself and to the people they serve first and foremost, and they're also accountable to their donors. One of the interesting things, and I find that people don't always realize this, is the Pennsylvania State Attorney General's Office has a guidebook. They've literally got a handbook for nonprofits that explains not only what's expected of you as key staff or a trustee of a nonprofit, but they give you a general outline of how to organize and maintain the nonprofit and kind of a list of, you know, what they mean by fiduciary responsibility, having a, you know, a duty of care to the organization, a duty of loyalty so that you're not profiting from your relationship or acting in self-interest. And it's actually a phenomenal outline for giving people a good sense of, you know, this is what's expected of you when you're dealing in the nonprofit world.
A lot of great advice. Greg Daly, financial advisor specializing in nonprofits with Fragasso Financial Advisors. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us on the Central Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Marcus. Appreciate it.
Get your pens, notebooks ready, because when the Central Pittsburgh returns, we're going back to campus. First, we'll venture over to Point Park University for a conversation with President Paul Hennigan about his vision for the university.
We aspire to be one of the most dynamic private urban universities in America, and I think we're heading down that path.
And then Harvard professor Richard Light enlightens us about what college students are looking for.
Students are eager to get much more advice or have more conversations about what it means to live a good life and, above all, a happy life.
I'm Marcus Charleston, producer of Essential Pittsburgh, and for Paul Guggenheimer, and you're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WPSA.